Tell me about it.
Like it too. If you will, let's turn to Exodus chapter 10. Exodus chapter 10. There's not a lot of faithful men that's preached from this passage, from this plague of the locusts. And Brother Henry had said several times when he would get up to start to preach, Henry said this. I'm just saying I understand it. Henry said this. He'd say, I don't really know how I'm going to preach this. I said, well, you're getting ready to. I understand it a little more now. So I want to just show you about these locusts what the Word says. There's some writers of old that had a lot of good insight, and it could mean those things, but the Word is a commentary on the Word. I appreciate what Brother Gill had to say, and I appreciate what Brother Hawker had to say, but the Lord speaks about this. He tells us what this is. That's what I'm really worried about. I like to see what they've experienced, and men of old, the Lord's made them faithful. But I want to know what God has to say. Are we concerned about that? Let's look here at Exodus 10, verse 1. We'll be looking at the first 20 verses. And the Lord said unto Moses. Now, who's talking? The Lord's talking. And in these first couple of verses, he's talking to Moses. He's telling Moses this. Now, go unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him. I've hardened his heart. He ain't going to listen. But you go tell him anyway, because I'm going to show my hand. I'm going to show my right hand. And it's not just for the Lord putting himself on display a couple thousand years ago. And that thou, remember he's speaking to Moses, mayest tell in the ears of thy son and of thy son's sons what things I have wrought in Egypt. You're going to tell your children about this, Moses, and your grandchildren. And the other grandchildren and their grandchildren. And my signs which I have done among them, that ye and your sons' sons and on down to us may know how that I am the Lord. Just these first two. God's telling Moses, he's saying this about your offspring, all the way down, your spiritual offspring, all throughout time. So guess who that's to? You that believe God, this is to us. He's doing this plague of the locusts. I may only spend 10 minutes on this, but the Lord did this for us, that we may know that he's the Lord. He's the Lord of hosts. Now that's precious, isn't it? What if he painted us? I got two paintings, I got several paintings in our home from people I know. They may not be worth 30 cents. You might be able to recycle the canvas for more than what somebody pay you for it. But I know the painter, and they painted that for my family. And that, like, I'll fight a fire to get in that house to get them things out of there. That's precious to me because of the painter. You understand that? Lord gave us this gift. He's done this in Egypt and all these plagues for us today, right now in 2024. When the Lord said he's given nations for you, I've given Egypt and Seba for you. That doesn't really hit home until we know people in Egypt. Until we know people in Seba. Then it stings, doesn't it? And it says people crept in unaware and they went out from us because they weren't of us. Yeah, we understand that. But when those people, they have a name, and I've ate lunch with them for 10 years, and when we know them and we have a connection to them, well, it hits home, don't it? It hits home. Just because this is taking place in Egypt, just because this is some Pharaoh that we ain't never seen and some Egyptian servants of his that we don't know and we ain't never had them over for dinner, Lord, make us enter into this, because this is what's coming. This is all foreshadowing. All these plagues are of what's to come. And we're in this time of locusts right now. That's just so. Each generation could probably say that, but that's fine. But I'm in this generation. And right now, at all these plagues, we're in the plague of locusts right now in August. I pray this will be important to us, and that we have an earnest interest for our sons and our daughters and our sons' sons and our daughters' daughters to hear this. I want people of San Diego County to hear this. I want my children to hear it, my grandchildren. I want your grandchildren and any offspring, or spiritually or physically, that come. I want us to hear this. Now, verse 3. This is to us. The Lord told Moses, go get after it. And Moses and Aaron came into Pharaoh and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go. We're going to do something that they may serve me. Else, if you don't, if thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring the locust into thy coast. Not just a few. And they shall cover the face of the earth, that one cannot be able to see the earth. You will look down, you ain't even going to see the dirt. And they shall eat the residue of that which is escaped, which remaineth unto you from the hail, and shall eat every tree which groweth for you out of the field. And they shall fill the houses and the houses of all thy servants and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither thy fathers nor thy fathers' fathers have seen. Nobody's seen nothing like this since the day that they were upon the earth unto this day. And he turned himself and went out from Pharaoh. He went in to give Pharaoh this warning. What a warning we have. What a gracious God. I want to, every time the Lord gives a warning, and when he warns us that he doesn't have to give us a warning, I want to remember that God's gracious to send somebody to warn us. This is kind, isn't it? He's good. If Pharaoh disobeys and Pharaoh's go to hell, God didn't predestine him to go to hell. He went there all by himself. He willfully did it. Verse 7. And Pharaoh's servant said to him, how long shall this man snare unto us? This guy's come down here. He's setting a trap for us. Hey, this is the 8th time he's been down here, and it don't stop. And every time he comes, it's bad news for us. Make him stop. He's setting a trap for us. We had it good till this Moses fellow showed up. Let them in go, that they may serve the Lord their God. It's their God. Let them go do what they want. They'll leave us alone. Let them gather together in a local assembly. Let them love each other to death. Just leave us out of it. I got better things to do. Knowest thou not that Egypt is destroyed? This is going to hurt us. These locusts are coming. God's prophet said something, and they actually agreed with him. Oh, what he says is right, but I don't want to have no part with him. You ever heard that? He's telling the truth, but I can't have no part with him. Leave me to myself. Oh, Lord, don't let us request to be left to ourselves. And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, verse 8. And he said unto them, go. Hey, come back, Moses. Aaron, get here. Come here. We talked to him. We changed his mind. We did you a favor. Well, go serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go? Now, you can go worship, but I want to know the parameters of which you shall worship your God. And Moses said, we will go with our young and our old, and with our sons and with our daughters, and with our flocks and our herds. Well, we go, me and my whole house. Everyone and everything under the influence is going to be for the servitude of God. You get that? It ain't, well, we're just taking the wise folks, or we're just taking those over 14, or the rich ones. No, everybody. No respecter of persons. We saw that last hour, right? Everybody. And whatever I have, I'm going to have it because the Lord gave it to me for the furtherance of the gospel, for the support of his saints. And that's why. It's all of me, the whole of me. Our daughters and our flocks will go in the herds for thee, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones. Look to it, for evil is before you, not so. Pharaoh said, you think I'm going to let you and all your children and all your flocks and everybody, the whole lot of you go? Not so. Verse 11, not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord. You leave the women and the children and the cattle and all that stuff here. For that ye did desire. You wanted the men to go. And so that'll make you partially happy, but I'm going to keep my reins on it too. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Pharaoh just said this. He said, now you can go worship God, but just the men. You go have your men's meeting out there in the wilderness, and that'll be enough. That'll be enough. And then he didn't ask no input, no nothing. He kicked them out. Verse 12, and the Lord said unto Moses. Moses hadn't said nothing. He's probably praying continually, wasn't he? The Lord spoke to Moses again. Stretch out thy hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land. Even all that the hail left. Everything I didn't destroy in the hail, it's going now. And Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locust. And the locust went up over all the land of Egypt and rested in all the coasts of Egypt. Very grievous were they. Before them, there was no such locust as they. Neither after them shall be such. Nothing's ever happened like this before. And I know at time the 13-year and the 17-year cicadas matched up. I don't know if it did here, but back east. And people thought this was, they said it was apocalypse. Jesus is coming in cardboard sign. And the Lord said, there ain't nothing going to happen like this. Physically. This is a physical thing that's taking place. Carnally, in the world. And he said, neither shall after them shall be such. Verse 15, for they covered the face of the whole earth so that the land was darkened. And they did eat every herb of the land and all the fruit of the trees which had left, the hail had left. And there remained not any green thing in the trees or in the herbs of the field through all the land of Egypt. The Lord sent locusts. What do locusts do? Or grasshoppers. That's another translation we're going to look at here in a little while. Grasshoppers, or periodical cicadas. Every 13, 17 years they come up. We ain't been here long enough to hear them. If they're here, you know what I'm talking about, or you've seen them on TV. What do they do? Well, one, are noisy. And two, they're destructive. They eat everything. If they get in your crops, they eat it all. Where does that leave you? Hungry. They destroy everything, the herbs of the field and all the green things that are pretty and green in life. It's brown and dirty and ugly. Everything's destroyed. Even the sight of it is, isn't it? What are these locusts? There's two things that the scriptures speak of that stood out to me. Let's turn over to Revelation 9. Like I said, a lot of men say, well, this is false preachers and all these things, but let's see what the Lord says. Revelation 9. And remember, too, these plagues in Egypt, we looked at, you get the blood, everything's turned to blood, the frogs, all those false prophets yakety-yakking, the lice that consumes our flesh, the flies that annoy us, the boils coming, the livestock hurt, the hail and fire coming down, the locusts, that's where we are right now. And then what's coming after this generation we're in? Darkness, and then the plague of the firstborn. But here in the Egypt, this physical thing that happened, it's a warning of things to come. This is for everybody on earth. There ain't nobody, from Elon Musk down to the poorest kid in some desert somewhere nobody knows. Everybody. What happened in Egypt then is a warning for the whole world. What's to come? Revelation 9, verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as a smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by the reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as scorpions of the earth have power. Remember us reading, the Lord said, your child asks you for an egg, you don't give them a scorpion. If somebody asks for the gospel, you don't give them a demon, do you? These locusts, they're like a scorpion. They got a sting to them. Verse 4. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree. But I thought that's what they ate, not these. This stuff happened in Egypt a long time ago. This is foreshadowing what's to come. But only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads, those that I haven't pitched within and without, those that aren't mine, that I've made to go in the ark, and I've sealed them in the ark. This ain't talking about some tattoos or something like that. The Lord's talking about his people, his elect. That make people a whole lot more mad than tattoos. God chose a people. None of us deserved it. And he said, they ain't going to eat nothing green about them. They're the green branch. They're not the dry branch that's going to break. It's fit for burning. These are the green branches. These locusts are going to consume everything else, everybody else. Verse 5, and to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Sting of death, sin, isn't it? And that sting is just going on and on, day in and day out. And it gets to be a drug. That poison gets to taste real good. What we're doing is right, because God ain't killed us yet. We must be doing okay. They're drunk on poison. Verse 6, and in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it. They shall desire to die, and the death shall flee from them. People want to die. It goes on that the shape of these and what it looks like, and somebody saw a creature like that, you'd probably just pass out. But torturous demons is what this is. Just like the land, it's going to cover everything. And some say false prophets, false preachers, maybe. But this is person to person. This is everyone not sealed in Christ is who this is going to sting and infect. And don't you see it? Don't you see it? Just if we don't look in the mirror, but look at throughout the world, look on TV, look in the books you read. It's like there's demons everywhere, all over. I've experienced this in part. I talked to one of my friends about this, my preacher friends. And I said, I was talking to somebody, and you probably experienced it too. And like everything's fine. And then like, buddy, it's gone. There ain't nobody home. The eyes blank out. And they say things against the gospel and wild things. Like, who is this person? What are they saying? I can't believe that come out of their mouth. And then it's kind of like they come back and they're like, hey, oh, hey, buddy. All right, well, we're going to go down to the ball game next week. Well, why? Who are you? The guy's real friendly down there. Albert's just to me. It checks us out, talks to us. And that one day, buddy, he's just, I don't know if he's having a bad day or what, or had locusts all in him. I don't know. That happens. These things aren't to be taken lightly. We're like in Ouija boards. Don't go fooling with it. Don't tempt the Lord your God, but leave it alone. Right? That's a good warning. Let's turn back to Isaiah 40. We'll see that this is every person. And but that's so too, Isaiah chapter 40. It covered the earth. And I heard some faithful men talk on this. I went and looked it up. And you look at the population of the earth, I think the first century is about 20 million to 200 million. You know, before the flood, most historical scholars says about 8 to 9 billion people on earth whenever Noah and the flood came. That's what we're at now. And it says, as in the days of Noah. And then right at the turn of the century, back in 1900, into 1800s, this earth had about 2 billion people on it. Right now we're pushing 9 in 100 years. Go from 2 billion people to 9 billion. That's like a wind came from the east that originated with God, the sun that rises in the east. And we're covering this land and just destroying it. And people talk about climate change and all that stuff. We ought not dump nuclear waste out in the ocean. We know better. But we're the plague. I'm not saying we're hurting Mother Earth. You hear me? You that know, you know better than that. Mankind's the problem. We're the thing that consumes. We're the thing that stings. We're the sin. We are. Look at the good news first. The Lord leads with good news to his people, and then he's going to tell us what we are. Isaiah 40, verse 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. That don't mean just be nice. That means speak to their hearts. I want you, Trevor, you speak to my heart. I can speak to your ears. I don't even know what your heart looks like. It's God's going to do it. He's just sending them out. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Use at war. Remember that? The war's over. And her iniquity is pardoned. All those good things you thought you did, now you see is bad. Lord, pardon that. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. We've been washed and we've been made where we cannot sin. We're made holy like him. That incorruptible seed. We're that eunuch. We ain't got no seed. That seed's been put in us. He didn't just clean us up and say, you know, you got to keep it. He's made us like him. Oh, buddy. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make ye straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted. You down, we lift you up. Every mountain and hill, oh, King Nebuchadnezzar is so proud. God's able to abase. He's able to make low. And all the crooked shall be made straight and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. The difference is the child of God does it now. That love we looked at last hour, that he's already loved us. We already love him. We're family now. And I tell you what, if they said everybody in this whole county is going to honor my wife, that'd make me happy. I don't like people come saying bad things about my wife. I like people come say good things about my wife. That'd make me happy. Now, that's an earthly example like we looked at. What's this church throughout eternity? Every knee and every tongue, everybody's going to just praise and honor Christ. Don't that make you happy? Is that what our desire is? Or do I want a Ferrari? I want to make the T-ball champions or whatever. I don't know. Something else. Go fishing. I want that to happen. Well, God says it's going to. He promised it. I believe him. Do you? Verse 5, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord spoke. He said so. And then the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? Well, you're going to do this, Lord. What am I going to tell them? I've heard what man has said to say. Hear me. I've heard what man has said to say. Mankind has said, I want you to say this. Now, here's what you're to do. Here's what you're to do. There's systematic things and books. You can buy whole bookstores full of stuff, right? All kinds of advice and input. Man has said to do things. I want to be a faithful servant of Christ. Here's what God said for those voices to speak. That's what I'm worried about. I don't care what Henry said about Barnard, too. I don't care. It's just, I don't care about Barnard. I care what God said. Well, I don't care what Henry said. I care what God says. Here's what God has to say. Tell them, all flesh is grass. All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as a flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. All the beauty we have, anything in us, ain't nothing. All the experiences we've had, all the fortitude we've shown, it don't matter diddly. What we've done to the Lord, it don't matter. He matters. He matters. The word of the Lord shall stand forever. Who's the word? Not what's the word. Who's the word? Christ is going to stand forever. Preach man low, preach Christ high. Look now at verse 11. And he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. And he shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. He shall gently lead those that are with young. He's tender. He's kind. He feeds us. Looks after us. My pastor preached on preaching this morning, and I can't wait. I didn't have time to listen. I can't wait to go here. Because he just gives what the Lord gave him. The shepherd, great shepherd says, here, feed them this, you under shepherd. And I said, here. I said, in a sense, I got the easiest job on earth. I just tell you what the Lord says. That's it. It don't change. What do you think we can do this? Well, here's what the word says. What do you think about that? Well, here's what the Lord said about it. That's what he said. That's it, isn't it? He's mighty and we're needy and he's faithful. Look down at verse 15. Behold the nations, that's Egypt and Seba and the great and wonderful United States of America. The nicest city in America. Everybody. Mount Rushmore. Pick something. The great czars of Russia of old and the sun never sets on the British crown or whatever. All those nations, he says, are dropping a bucket. You ever poured a bucket out to go water something and you tilt it back up and you see there's just a couple little drops down there? Oh, do we get it and shake it and get an air blower out and try to get that? That's a drop in a bucket. You leave it alone. It's a dust on a scale. God says nations are that. We admire nations, don't we? He said the nations are as a drop of a bucket or count as small dust on the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. The greater and lesser Antilles on the Bahamian shelf, Hawaii, the great Indonesian beautiful islands. The Lord said, that's a little thing. Ain't nothing. Verse 22. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as, that's everybody that lives on this earth, grasshoppers. Literal translation, locusts. Whoa, now. I can look out in this world. Here's where the rubber meets the road. I can look out in this world and I can tell you all kinds of bad things that happen. Take me in the month of June, take me in downtown San Diego and I'll talk to you about Sodom and Gomorrah. There's demons left, right, and center, ain't they? Now, God's saying that I'm on this earth too. Are you on this earth? He's saying I'm the locust. He's saying I'm the grasshopper. I'm the death. I'm the destruction. Hold on now. He that sitteth on the circle of the earth and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. That stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as the tent to dwell in. That bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. We're just grasshoppers. One place says we're worms. But you know what the literal translation of that word worms is? Maybe it's a night crawler. That's in real good potting soil instead of you know, nasty old sandy dirt or something. No, it's worse than that. Maggot. And that's like he starts this off with saying, "Quieter warfare is accomplished." Until we're a maggot, we don't need to be made like Christ. Until we're at war, we don't need the captain of our salvation. We don't need the war to be put out. There ain't nothing we're at war at. The Lord has to show us these things. He has to teach us that the problem ain't in things and it's stuff. And the problem's within. The bulls ain't on the outside. The bulls are on the inside. And the problem ain't with my brother. The problem's with me. Now, they probably got problems too because they're like me, but I need to worry about me. That great scholar once said, "Mind your own business." I need to mind my own business. That's me. Man-filled demons are what is filled this earth. I've experienced it, and you have too. I've seen that in my own family. People turn on a dime, don't they? Like they're addicted to some poison, or physically are addicted to a poison. That happens too. That's us, brethren. If the Lord takes his hand off of us, we can condemn somebody. I can't believe they do that. They're a Judas. I tell you who would be if he took his hand off of me is this one. If I wasn't in that Lamb's Book of Life before eternity, and I just entertained these things, and I did it, and I did this, and I did that, and I did this, that's all I'm going to have is me. So you go down to find justice, that's what you're going to find, just us. That's all I'm going to have. If the Lord takes his hand off of me, and if we think that wouldn't happen, you're currently deceived. You got some confused, poisonous scorpions running through you. It's made you delirious. You're bewitched. You're bewitched if you think that. When I used to be that way. Paul didn't say, "Oh, wretched man, I used to be," did he? This is an apostle that labored more than them all. He was mightily used, wasn't he? What did Paul say? He saw through a glass dimly, and he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Now, I need Christ. I thank God that delivered me through his Son. That's a good place to be. That's a good place to be. Well, it's miserable. That's where God puts his people. If you like something else, go find that. But the sheep, that's where they're going to be, at his feet, down low, ain't they? These events in English are a warning to mankind. It's to everybody, and it's to me. It's to everybody, and it's to you. It is. Let's heed it. God gave it for us to talk about. We're talking about it. Heed it. They're a warning to mankind of the things to come. There'll be a day the Lord's coming back, and I don't know what all that's going to look like. He says it, but at the time, I thought about that the other day. When we get to glory, we go, "I get it. Why didn't I think of that? I know exactly what he's talking about. Look here. Of course. How did I not see that?" That's what he meant. I don't know what those things will come when the Lord comes, but I do know this. Call on him who delights to show mercy. This warning has been given. Somebody told me that once. I said, "You've been warning me and warning me and warning me and warning me." I said, "Why don't you listen?" Please. Not so I win. This is for you. Call on him now who delights to show mercy. Henry wrote this, 5 reasons for a sinner to hope for mercy. Why should we hope in the Lord's mercy? 1, it's his nature to show mercy. God is love, and he must be merciful to some because he's holy and he's love. He's going to love somebody. It's his desire to show mercy. It's his nature and it's his desire. He delights to show mercy. It makes him happy for him to show mercy. If that makes God happy, you think that'd make his object of his mercy happy? It'll change them. They'll be different. His glory is to show mercy. When Moses said, "Show me your glory," he said, "I will be merciful." Didn't he? His name is the mercy giver. Jesus, Savior, Deliverer. He will save. He's going to show this mercy. And his call is to mercy. The message he sent out, his general call is what? "Come unto me, I'll give you rest." Mercy. Now, will Egypt and Pharaoh cry for mercy? They've been warned. That mean old fellow Moses that keeps coming out here messing with us. All he does is tell us bad things going to happen, and it happened. He's telling you good things, too. Will they going to listen? Is Egypt going to listen? Is Pharaoh going to listen? Am I going to listen? Remember, it ain't just them locusts out there. Are you going to listen? Are you? Look back in our text, Exodus 10. Verse 14. And the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested in all the coasts of Egypt. Were very grievous, were they. Before them were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall be such. For they covered the face of the whole earth so that the land was darkened. And they did eat every herb of the land and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. And there remained not any green thing in the trees or in the herbs of the field through all the land of Egypt. Then, these troubles are good. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste. Get them in here. And he said, I have sinned against the Lord your God, and against you, against your God, against you. He said it. He said it. What's in the heart's going to come out the mouth? Now, that sounds good, don't it? I've sinned against your God and you. Well, how holy. Ain't we glad to be in your pretty pleased presence? But as all them disciples said, the apostle said, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? And Judas said, Master, is it I? And he said, you said it. It come out of your mouth. You want to be judged out of your mouth? You just said it. See if you can hear the difference between what Pharaoh, maybe this ain't touching everybody. Pharaoh said, I've sinned against your God and against you, Moses and Aaron. I've sinned against the preacher, God's preacher. Well, that happened, but here's what David said. Have mercy upon me, O God, that one that delights to show mercy. According to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, my sins ever before me, against thee and thee only. Have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and clear when thou judgest? You send me to hell right now, Lord, you're right. Not while you have a God, I got a God, I made yours mad. That's what that prodigal son says. He said, I sinned against God and you saw it. Well, that was against his father. Well, where did his father get that riches? God gave it to him. It's against God. You just happened to see it. Pharaoh said, I've sinned against your God and against you. Verse 17. Because of that, because there's good confession, he thinks is good. Now, therefore, forgive, I pray thee, my sin only this once. He's saying Moses and Aaron can forgive sin. They can't forgive nothing. But I just remember last time, he said, in this I've sinned. Now, I was wrong in that one little thing. That's what I said last plague. This time he said, you just forgive my sin only this once, and I'll never do it again. My sin's ever before me, David said. And entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only. Get rid of these. I don't want to deal with these demons no more. I want to be nice and friendly and happy. Everybody wants to be happy, happy, happy. That's what I want. Just this once. Not ever before, he meant it. Verse 18. And he went out from Pharaoh. Moses went out and entreated the Lord. Didn't say nothing to him. And the Lord turned a mighty strong west wind, which took away the locusts and cast them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the coasts of Egypt. Remember what we for scripture reading, the Lord said, here's yours. You want to learn how to pray? Honor the Father. Ask him to see Christ, that his will be done. And make us remember that we're not very forgiving. He's the forgiving one. I won't be like him. And then he says, wear him out. Keep asking, keep asking, keep asking, keep asking, keep asking. Whatever it is, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. I think we're going to sing it. Well, I need a Mercedes and I need... What? No, he said, send the Holy Spirit. Give me the right spirit. Give me your spirit. Entreat him. Entreat him. The Lord's good, and if we ask, this heathen Pharaoh said, Lord, or have the Lord, Moses asked on his behalf, have the Lord get rid of these locusts. Lord did it. Have we asked him? He's faithful. And if he don't give it to us, we're consuming it. What do locusts do? They consume. We're consuming on our own lust. I didn't need it anyway. He's the wise one, not me. Lord, you ought to do it this way. No. If you're pleased, do this, Lord. And if not, give me the grace to be all right and learn. Teach me. Make me teachable. Lord, so good and so merciful and so tender to the very ones at war with him. Doesn't that make you love him all the more? Doesn't that make you need him and desire him to learn from him and be like him? He said, Matthew 5, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That, he said, do those things, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. You'd be like your daddy. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. He took those locusts away from all of them. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, well, that's my brother in Christ, hello. I'm not talking to those heathens. What do you do more than others? Even the publicans do that. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Wash their feet. Get them locusts off of them. Do it. Verse 20. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go. Like Moses, I pray, if thy presence not go with me, carry us not up hence. Lord, if you're not with us, if your spirit ain't with us, don't leave us to ourselves. We're hard. I'm hard. Lord, I need you with me day in and day out, every hour, every minute. I need you with me always. What a warning, isn't it? Maybe somebody covered in locusts. Lord, take them away. Take them away. And they'll say, he did that. Well, I straightened my life up and I got some good dewormer out there and or whatever, pesticides, insecticides, that's what it is. Lord did that, didn't he? Let's pray together. Father, when we think of the nations given for your people, it's an awesome thing. It's humbling, Lord, but when we think of your son that was given for us, that willingly laid down his life for grasshoppers, dust in the balance, worms, that's worm Jacob. How humbling, Lord. What love and what tenderness you've showed to a bunch of maggots. And then to be made like him. Lord, haste the day. Your will be done, but come quickly. And be with us till then, Lord. Forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us our sins and make us forgiving. Give us the gifts of the Spirit to be long-suffering and meek and kind. And be with us as you promised you will, Lord. Fulfill your promises. We know that you will. Be with our families, those that we love. Be with our enemies, Lord. Save them. They're yours. Be with our rulers, with our police or government, whatever. Wherever they may be, Lord, they're yours. And make us respect them and save them. Thank you for this hour. It's because of Christ we ask it. Amen.